Hello and welcome to another episode of GDPR Now, a podcast dedicated to all things related to data security and data privacy, brought to you by Data Protection for Business, and this is DPO. Your host today is me, Karen Heaton, owner of Data Protection for Business, recording from my home office in Southwest London. This episode is part of our series of updated podcasts addressing security and privacy concerns resulting from the coronavirus pandemic and the shift in working practices for millions of businesses across the UK and the world. In this episode, we are delighted to have Andrew Alston. He's a founding director at BreachAware and Business Intelligent Theorems. Today, Andrew is going to talk to us about BreachAware, which is a data breach monitoring and reporting application. It's designed to help organizations detect and prevent crime as part of their system of risk management. So Andrew, can you tell us a bit about why you started BreachAware?
Hi Karen, thanks for having me on the show. I used to work for a security company a few years ago, and we were selling some quite sophisticated technology. And one of the things that we noted was that the organizations we were selling to, from some of the basic tools out there, that's half the members we were talking to have been compromised on the dark web or surface web, and we were using basic tools just to check whether they were vulnerable to any malicious attack from outside. So we immediately thought, well, is there an enterprise tool out there that can identify risk on a mass scale on the market? And there wasn't at that time. And we started a project off. We called it BreachAware. We did a search on the dark web and surface web and immediately found 500 million email addresses that had been compromised.
Wow.
Then we turned that data and insights into a business proposition. And we realized that we had to apply it across the market, not focus on large companies, but focus on SMEs and large enterprise companies. So today, we have about 10% of the world's domains on our books, and we found about 10 billion credentials.
Wow, that is amazing. Those are huge statistics. But also the fact that you're able to offer something that helps the SME market, because often those types of solutions are out of the price range for SMEs. And so how can you help them?
We're quite altruistic on BreachAware. What we did, first of all, we used to get quite annoyed that when you went onto a website to try and do a scan of your name or your domain, the organizations that you went onto would ask you for your email address, then it would ask you for your telephone number, and you'll get a salesman coming back. So we thought, well, what we're going to do is provide a service that will give you for free a redacted overview of your footprint on the dark and surface web, and that way you'll understand maybe, okay, I've got a problem here. I've got to make some adjustments and changes to my cyber policy or look at the whole thing and audit your organization. So that was the first step, and we did have feedback saying, why are you doing that? Because you're giving your data away free. We felt it necessary to do that that step, because it's 99% of the organizations out there in the UK are SMEs. And we just felt it, you know, it's providing a sort of a free apostrophes service. And then if you wanted to analyze it to the next layer, that's when it became a commercial opportunity, when you could either purchase it through our website and then start analyzing the data. But a lot of people do not know what their footprint is out there.
Just to enhance what you're saying, I went onto your website and used it for myself. It was really easy to use. And I did a search on my personal email and my business domain. And as you said, I could see that I hadn't been compromised on one of them, but on the other one, I had. And so obviously, the next level down, which is the level down you're talking about, to see the details behind what data had been compromised from which sites and the risks I was running would be when the paid service kicks in. Is that right?
Yeah, and what really enforces people to have a look is GDPR, which was enforced from May 2018. I know the DPA has taken over once Brexit happens, and that's even you've got even more enhanced conditions. But the important thing is to, and the important thing we have to do from our organisation is adhere to GDPR compliances. So our whole organisation is based on the GDPR Article 5. And when you go on to our service, even if you pay for the paid version, all your data will be redacted. But what it will tell you, it will show you the different types of data types that have been compromised.
Yeah.
So we always show an email, which is really important. And then we have 87 data types at the moment that we look at. And and that can go from your IP address to your physical home to any of the sensitive categories that are highlighted by GDPR, or special categories as well. And what's really important, people must understand that any piece of data associated to your organization or to you personally will play a part, maybe today or in the future, of you being compromised.
So let's talk a little bit about being compromised and what that really means, because I'm not sure that everyone really understands what compromised is or could be in the future. And certainly Kingsley Hayes talked about this in one of our earlier podcasts, and he explained how bad actors are out there. They're combining data sets of stolen information, and they're starting to profile individuals. And that could be used in the future.
Oh, yes. When we go out and do presentations or discussions like with you, Karen, and I mentioned that just an email has been compromised, people just think, well, that's just my address. Mm-hmm. But what they'll do, they will actually harvest the data. So if Karen comes up again on another breach and then you've got your IP address, they can then start getting a profile of you and then do a bit more credential stuffing and then social engineering. And then that data might be hanging about for a few months, and then suddenly they're building up your profile, and then 6 months' time you might find yourself being attacked.
Social engineering. Can you give us a bit more examples of what that might look like?
Well, it's profiling one person. So you're building up a profile of that organization, whether it's you personally or a corporate credential. So it's about your, it could be your age, it could be where you're shopping, it could be anything that you purchased, it could be your login. And they get there, and then what happens is once they grow that profile and they get your password, they'll then potentially run a macro on all the maybe web interfaces and email interfaces you're organized with, and then start focusing on you to entice someone maybe to either interact with you, one of your business partners or your family members or friends. And then by doing that, they'll then might, the whole thing is making money, make some fraudulent opportunity out of you. So it's these guys are good.
Well, that's exactly what Kingsley and, in fact, Zohar said as well in his interview with us. He said that these companies are run as very profitable enterprises, and they're really well managed. So they might be running outside of the law, but they're very well run and managed because the return on investment is very high. And so how does this represent itself in terms of the challenge for SMEs in particular, the scale and the size of the challenge that they're facing?
Well, you just mentioned at the beginning about the commercial aspect. A lot, the market is changing for SMEs. You're getting some really good value products. But the thing is, what do you want to do is make it more of an inherent cost for an SME rather than an expensive security add-on cost.
Okay.
So we focused on reducing the price of our service in order to make it negligible impact. there's 90%, the 99% of the, as I said earlier on, of the companies in the UK are SMEs.
Yeah.
And they're part of the challenge. And the challenge for all companies is massive. If you consider there was 4.1 billion records breached in the first quarter of 2019, mm-hmm. that is a phenomenal number yet to commit fraud and extortion. And it's not just for the big companies. That covers all the SMEs. That covers companies from 2 people to 10 people to 10,000 people. And if you consider there's 300 billion passwords out there, well, they reckon it's going to be there by the end of 2020, and over 4 billion email users.
Wow,
the market's huge. Right in the middle. So everyone has the same impact. And there's two sorts of breaches. There's malicious and there's accidental. The malicious actors are not motivated by national security or geopolitic objectives. They're just motivated by greed.
Mm.
So it's you know, there's no differentiation. So what we've tried to do with our service, and we've had some interesting conversations with enterprises, we make sure that whatever we do in breachware is that the SME will get the same service as a large organization.
And that doesn't happen very often.
Well, for us, a data type is a data type. It's a data set. So why should the SME, as I say, the SMEs represent a massive proportion of the UK compared to the enterprises. Makes no difference to us.
And can you share any pricing, or is it up on your website if listeners are interested?
So at the moment, we're charging £300 per domain and per annum, and mm-hmm. that will offer you a full audit, any notification of a new breach or compromised data, and you can get it via email or text. You get access. You have to go through a level of consent because of we want to make sure that whoever we're talking to is the right person and responsible for that domain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you're a member, part of a membership, we're changing our pricing model to take in membership groups, and obviously there'll be disproportionate discount on those. And we've got a partner model. We've got a number of MSPs and technology partners that use our service.
So it's possible that in the next few years, then, this service will be much more widely available to people who maybe haven't heard about it just now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. We're a SaaS company. This might sound a bit counterproductive, but we do not want to be investing in doing the selling. We want people to come to us and make it so easy to buy our service through an automated process, mm-hmm. and following all the compliance steps you have today in order to buy it. It makes our service more cost effective, and by reducing the overheads, it makes it a far more an inherent cost rather than a expensive security add-on cost.
So some people might think, well, why can't individuals or corporations just do this themselves, you know, go and check on the dark web?
Well, we get our data from two sources. As you said, we get it from the dark web and we get it from automated scrapings. So although this data is publicly available, people or organizations compromised data is well hidden within the departments of the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
The dark web is only accessible by means of special software or browsers, and allowing users and web operators to remain anonymous and untraceable. So it's not accessible by your normal Yahoo, Google, and other structured browsers.
So you need some skills to be able to know where to go and have the right tools.
So we look at the forums. We do not buy data. We find out data that is just readily available on the dark web.
So people are just putting data up there?
Yeah.
Just randomly?
If you go on the Pastebin, Pastebin is where we get a bit of online automated data. It's an online content hosting service where people just dump compromised personal data. And it's just amazing what's being dumped there. So mm-hmm. I saw a phishing list of one of our top consultancy companies out there. Okay, it was just a phishing list, but it had all of that company's email addresses that it was sending all its marketing material to. Mm-hmm. That in one way is commercially valuable to someone in another organization, or yeah. someone understanding the politics and commercial relationships of that organization. Every piece of data has a value. What's even more worrying is that we're finding a lot more data on the surface web, and the surface web is a portion of the web is just generally available by the general public via the standard search engines that I just mentioned.
Okay.
So it is a bit worrying, the amount of data that we're actually seeing. And another thing is, when you see the big breaches occur, the Equinities, the mm-hmm. EasyJets that's just come yeah. up, Alexan and so on, the market focuses on that, and it yeah, really yeah. makes a big message. What they're forgetting about, that data will be stuck in the dark web forums for 2-3 years. Okay. They'll maximize okay. the commercial value of it, mm-hmm. and then it will only get dumped publicly available 2-3 years' time.
Wow.
Whereas the small breaches that don't make the press, everyone ignores those. And they are just as important as the big ones.
But they're not headline grabbing. That's the problem, isn't it?
No.
And so we hope that these podcasts really help people be able to understand the sorts of issues that are out there, the risks that are being run on a daily basis, whether you're an individual or you're an SME.
So the problem an SME has, as well as a big enterprise has, is that you might feel comfortable with the policies and compliance standards you have within all your organization. You might have turned down a tide of hitting down and reduced the risk as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Your service is only as good as the integrity of the service that you purchase from your suppliers, your partners, and maybe interact with your customers.
So that supply chain is really important.
It really is important, really is.
Especially these days, so many services are outsourced. Every time you use a new online platform, you know, it's another link in that chain, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we did some work with a large organization that deals with transport, and we're helping them with some research. We noticed a couple of their staff had been involved in a compromise on one of their suppliers who was mm-hmm. supplying some sort of oil lube for that transport organization. And that company was out in Asia, obviously, because it's cheaper oil out there than it is over here.
Yeah.
But now that company's credentials were floating around with their not only their email address, but access to the portal to that supplier out in India, maybe some corporate information, credit card information, account information. So that's how easy
it is.
It is, yeah. And we wouldn't know about it, nor would us, until that domain suddenly pops up on one of the public forums or on Pastebin.
Right, and that's when you know that it's up for sale.
Well, no, I would assume that it's already been sold, and that it's now just been dumped on the dark web. So it is quite a bizarre way they do operate in some ways. It's quite an interesting way.
So they make some money out of the information potentially, and then they just give it to other people to make some money from themselves.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
But wow. You've got to understand that technology churn used to be 60 days years ago. I think it's 30 days. By the time you've actually rolled out a new piece of software, it's already been compromised, or the groups that are doing the hacking or the looking for data are so well advanced, so clever, you're just catching up all the time.
Yeah.
So the whole game is to reduce the risk. And one of the fundamental things is understand your footprint, and train your staff. That won't resolve everything, but that will certainly help you reduce your risk.
Oh, that's good advice to end on. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Training up staff is absolutely key, and regularly as well, training them on more and more sophisticated phishing attacks, scam emails, how to spot them, etc.
Can I just finish on one point, Karen?
Yeah, absolutely.
They reckon that if you do train your staff, there is a stat from Aberdeen Group that by just doing simple cyber training, hygiene training, it will reduce the social engineering risk by 60%.
60%. That's 60%. Big. That's a big drop. Mm. And it's not difficult to do regular training. So yeah, on that note, it's important to remember that not only do we need to do lots of hand washing and personal hygiene, but we need to keep our IT hygiene up to date as well and make sure that staff are trained and passwords are strong, etc. So that was a fascinating conversation, Andrew. Thank you very much. It's great to hear that there's a platform and a solution out there that's affordable for SMEs and personal households, I would also say. So unfortunately, though, it does bring us to the end of this episode of GDPR Now. So, Andrew, if our listeners want to contact you, we'll add your contact details to the show notes. And if there are any issues or questions our listeners would like addressed, please send them to info@dpo4business.co.uk. Or if you would like to appear in the podcast, please let us know. So to our listeners, thanks for listening. And thank you very much to Andrew for another very interesting and thought-provoking discussion. We really appreciate it. That's it from me, Karen Heaton. I hope you will join us again soon. Take care. Stay safe.